bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to Survival Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Heck yeah.
Mr. Justin Robert Young.
Hey, friends, what's going on?
And Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hey, everybody, that's me.
So, gentlemen, I think that for every crisis, there is a person and it is their hour. I think with millions of people staying home, it's our time. People who are actually naturally hermits and stay home all the time to offer our guidance and experience.
Did you see briefly hashtag Gen X was trending? And I was like, okay, what's going on here? And it was nothing but Gen X bragging about, yes, millennials and boomers fight to the death. We have learned to entertain ourselves with or without electric devices. We were the latchkey generation. Yeah. We stand and laugh.
Oh, you're not losing electricity. Electricity's not going to go away.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't understand the point either. But man, yeah, just Gen X suddenly was flexing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy it, flannel tards.
All seriousness, though. I mean, we all. The three of us, you know, Bryce has to actually go to an office, but for the most of us, you know, we're actually, Brian, you got a compound now. So you've had a lot of experience though, the working from home and the idea of like, you know, like I've gone days without leaving my house, not intentionally and not because of the court order, but because I just get caught up in a project. And I'm like, I have food in the fridge or I order something. And I'm like, man, when is the last time I saw my mailbox? So how does one occupy themselves?
Oh, man. I mean, number one, this is the year of can it be virtualized? Going outside, can it be virtualized? Friendships, can they be virtualized? Concerts, can they be virtualized? Food experiences, can they be virtualized? Like that's if you are somebody who is with an entrepreneurial bent, figure out a thing that people do that they don't think they're going to miss right now, but probably will find themselves missing in 6 months, and figure out a way to deliver a virtual version of that.
Cool.
I mean, I think that, you know, in terms of staying. You know, I've been working from home for 6 years now. You know, the biggest thing that I found, unfortunately, is that, like, you know, I personally, my personality demands that I get the hell out of the house at a certain point. And now there's less of that, or at least less of destinations. I can still leave my house, but I just kind of got to walk around my block and then come home. Beyond that, there's really just, you know, the biggest thing is self-scheduling was a big lesson that I had to learn early on, just figuring out like exactly what I needed to do, the time I was giving myself to do it, and getting better at hitting those goals. Whiteboard was helpful more recently in terms of breaking down larger projects. But the biggest part of working from home for me was just self-discipline of, like, this is not vacation. This is work. If you care about getting stuff done, then congratulations. You've given yourself the maximum amount of bandwidth to do it. But it means keeping yourself on schedule.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Creating a structure for you to get stuff done in terms of planning out your day in probably ways you wouldn't have planned out before, in terms of like, okay, this hour I'm going to be at the computer. This hour I'm going to be making phone calls. Like, stuff you would not micromanage to that degree. Like, set it up and don't just write it down. Like, turn the alerts on your phone, or if you do the Pomodoro thing, get like a physical thing so you can see the timer so that you know. Because when you can see it, when you can see the obligation there, or you're constantly aware of it, that helps you keep on track. Because that the other problem with working from home, like you said, Justin, like you have the most bandwidth, you also have the most opportunities to like be distracted with other stimulus.
Well, and I'll tell you what, it's funny, like I quit my office job 20 years ago so that I could eventually build an office and go to an office and get some work done, because working from home was great up until kids started being around all the time, and kids who get bored figure out that they can manufacture reasons to grab your attention. And it was with three kids and, you know, currently one being 7 years old, what was the most productive space in the house, this office with glass doors, suddenly became just a nuked zone. There was no possible way to get a single damn thing done. And so now I have to run away and come out over here.
I find that one of the ways that time just passes super fast for me is, I have talked about this a lot, but like, man, you know, I look at like Udemy and taking those courses, you know, you take a 40-hour Udemy course, it's 40 hours that you get to spend learning something. And I've mentioned this before, your public libraries, like many of them offer lynda.com, the LYNDA courses for free. A lot of them have just a lot of great online stuff. We're going to be spending the next several weeks or more, you know, looking for things to do after you get burned out on Netflix, I highly recommend, like, you can come out on the other side of this with a skill, that skill that I've been meaning to do this, but instead of, you know, because many of us, one, aren't able to go to work, or two, just not able to go out and socialize. What better way to make use of the time than all of a sudden have some capability you didn't have before?
Well, and that's what I'm hoping, is that this will be sort of a renaissance of like, yes to being worried for all the people who actually are getting sick, but the vast, 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 vast majority of people who are self-quarantining and spending more time at home, guess what? You have all said for decades that you will get around to it. Congratulations, you've been handed a round to it. You have been handed time. If I only had more time, now suddenly you have time, and now is the decision where you either want to fill that time with playing the fear game, hitting refresh constantly, watching numbers go up, and talking to yourself about scary stuff, filling your head with dumb self-chatter, or you could get to work. And guess what happens? When you get to work, learning a new trade, a new skill or whatever, you get things done, the time goes faster, and you come out farther ahead. Now is the time, more than at any other, to pivot. If you've been thinking about getting around to, and now all of a sudden, you know, but it's like, but I have another shift in my service industry job or whatever. This is it. This is the universe handing you your biggest wake-up call that you're ever going to get. And it's never been easier to get your hands on information, to learn a new trade, or to develop a new skill, or prepare yourself for, you know, what the next 10 years is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I say, Isaac Newton did his best work during the plague.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Another strong thing is like find time to either get out of the house and take a walk, maybe not go to the gym, but maybe take a walk, or get active. You know, when I am at home and I don't want to go to the gym, I've got the Ring Fit Adventure, the yoga ring game that I was talking about a while ago, that Nintendo has said we are completely sold out, and we're trying to make many, many more because everyone wants to work out at home. But even stuff like Just Dance, you know, the little dancing game, like that'll burn you some calories right quick.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of gets the blood pumping. It kind of gets, you know, you started, you know, if you.
Owen.
Yeah. So.
Get him. Owen, shake it up.
Yeah. Even Nike has a Nike Train Club app where it's a bunch of exercises, and they have a lot of stuff you can do without needing equipment or free weights. So like there are a lot of free opportunities also to just like wake yourself up, wake your body up.
Yeah, so I guess it's really a two-way street. One message is, this is your opportunity to learn and do stuff, but also this is your opportunity to take what you know and teach it. Figure out if anyone is teaching it online, and then if nobody's the expert, then congrats, you could be the expert in whatever that thing is.
So one of the things we talked about before and weird things was for people who are being impacted, particularly anybody in the service industry, from an entertainment point of view, people, live entertainers, et cetera. Brian, you just mentioned the idea of like teaching. And I think that's what I was thinking forward is, you know, what can we do as far as forward thinking? You know, if I was a cruise ship entertainer right now, I would be concerned because I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think the cruise industry is ever going to fully recover from this.
I agree. I don't see how. Certainly people will want to get on a boat and go places, but the mega cruise ships, the let's keep on making it even bigger with more amenities or whatever, I just don't see that surviving at all.
I think there'll be some of it, but I don't know if it'll be the size, because I think that people are going to be mindful of being in those environments. And I think there is going to be, you know, it's going to be impacted. And so for people who are in that form of entertainment, live entertainment, like, you know, what would I be telling a 20-year-old version of myself that was, you know, in that business? And I would say that, you know, the corporate world, you know, conferences and stuff are also going to be downsized, but there are still going to be offices. People are going to still be, think about like, in environments where people can control it or feel they've controlling it, like somebody's home, a workplace or places like that. And I think that's the thing to think about, like, okay, is there going to be, you know, markets for like, you know, magicians going and doing shows for, you know, a corporate event held at a corporate, you know, in an office or stuff like this, bringing in an entertainer into the office, bringing somebody into an environment there. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, thinking about like, where are people going to feel more comfortable doing that? And I don't quite know the answer, but that might be one of those.
I mean, I'll tell you what, bummer of a time for HQ to melt down and cease to be a national phenomenon, because it seems like right now people would be losing their mind twice a day having cash and prizes dangled in front of them.
Oh, the
one
trivia
brief
game, yeah.
Moment of ecstasy when you're on a game show.
Yeah, the app, yeah. Yeah, so I think we're going to see a lot of opportunities for that. And I think that's the thing, is I think everybody needs to be thinking, you know, future forward. And part of what we're seeing happening in the next year is stuff that was going to probably naturally evolve over the next decade, to be honest. So
yeah,
that's that.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing about what's happening right now culturally and economically, is that the carpet's kind of peeled back, and now we're kind of seeing which beams were strong and which beams were weak. And we literally just saw it right now with the movie theater chains. Like, these are discussions that have been happening forever about first release movies being released VOD on, you know, rental on day and date. And today it happened, March 16th. It happened because that carpet's pulled up and the studios are like, well, look, that's a very weak floorboard, and we're just gonna kind of kick through it, and we'll see what we can replace it with. And yeah, now that means that by the time we get back, boy howdy, is there a new world for movie theaters. Like, they got to figure out what they exist for and why they exist in a way that they have not had to think about well ever. There's no degree of, oh, now there's 3D, and now there's, don't worry, we'll just keep making these kind of movies that'll pack you in there. It's like, we are, that this is, I think people, they might just go away. Like, the way that we know movie theaters is like, it's just a thing that happens. There's just one around us, like post office. Like, we might be done there. And so there's going to be a question on if they survive, how, what coaxes people out to death.
I don't know. That was a popular say. That's like saying vinyl's dead, or I mean, and certainly the thought was that movie theaters were going to be dead with television and all that stuff. I mean, it's like, I don't think any of it'll ever go away. It'll just become increasingly boutique.
That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Nothing ever dies.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that in the frequency that we have them now.
We have three AMC theaters within a quarter mile from here in Burbank. There are three AMC theaters. Do I see a year from now, you know, 2 years from now, will all three of those be there? I don't know. I hope so, but I find it, you know, hard to imagine that, you know, and I hope we bounce back. I hope that we have improved knowledge and whatnot, and we're not afraid to meet in large groups in public again. I hope that's my hope, but my fear is, you know.
Yeah, you know, and this is the other side of it. Let's say day and date comes out and movie theater traffic doesn't move at all. And the fears of day and date are proven to be overblown, and people still when they want to go to the movie theaters, they really want to go to the movie theaters. And all the frustrated parents who are like, let me just buy this thing. I can't. Like, you know, you could make it $50 and it would still be twice as cheap as me getting a sitter. Then maybe that's proven right. And these are just two totally different audiences. Either way, we're going to learn some lessons.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's like a lot of times when we go to the movies is we go to the movies because we want to go to the movies, not because, oh, this is the only place we can see it. Is you just want that experience of being outside your home, sitting in the big recliner and the big screen and the popcorn and all that. And there's going to be a need for that, you know, and a day and date is sort of fascinating to me because it's kind of like, you know, when certain movies come out, like, yeah, no, I don't want to watch it at home. I want to go see it in the theater. But I want that experience of being with other people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's.
Well, and that's going to be the tricky thing to virtualize is the power of social proof. I don't know if you guys happen to watch it, but they aired the basically just the straight up rehearsal of Late Night with Stephen Colbert. Did you guys see this? It's him doing the show, and there's only 20 people in there, and it's all staff, and they are saying the headline reads. They're doing it without a live studio audience. And then like halfway through, he starts saying some stuff that makes it sound like the idea is only just occurring to him that you think I'm joking, but we're just going to air this rehearsal. This is going to be it. We're not going to do the show. It is eerie and weird. The pacing, the stuff that plays when everybody's laughing, and you can tell he's pausing for those laughters that are not there. And it just ends up being bizarrely hollow, and that's the part that we're gonna have to figure out.
And I think a lot of those talk shows were gonna try to do that without audiences, and then all of them did it for a day or so, and then said we can't do it. Like Wendy Williams got canceled, The View, like all the big shows.
Man, Wendy Williams would be hilarious. That weird
presses that button. It says applause, and there's nobody applauding.
Yeah, right. So WWE. They are not doing any of their live events now because they normally play to arenas that are, you know, 10 to 20,000. They did their first show without an audience on Friday, which was just bizarre. It was, I mean, because if there is one thing that, these talk shows are still people talking, right? There's an audience, there's a live energy that, completes it. Professional wrestling is all about the audience reacting. And so as you watch these wrestlers go through the motions where they're like slapping the turnbuckle, which is normally what they do to get the audience to like start clapping and get invested in the match. It is just totally crazy. And they're going to do another one tonight on USA Live.
Just feels like a snuff film.
It is bizarre where, you know, the bit that I caught on Friday. It's a tag team match, and then a member of another tag team comes in to screw with the finish, and they have to like joke on the commentary about like, yeah, I guess you just snuck through the crowd. No one could see her.
But I'm telling you, I don't know how long humans are built to hold out for the solitary existence. I mean, all of the jokes aside, I mean, I think that everybody is really invested in hey, what say we crack that genome? What say we get that that vaccine fast tracked? What say we get back to normalcy as fast as possible?
Well, no, I mean the economy needs it. We can't. There's only so long that you know businesses, unless there's just a blanket suspension of like, all right, everybody who owns property, you're not allowed to evict people. And you know, these are all just mulligans and we'll just cut checks to everybody for all the money you lost. Every restaurant around me is probably going to be dead if this is a quarantine for 3 months.
Yeah. Well, and that's the part that I don't know that anybody is or that many people I talk to realize just how short that fuse is, like how very short before we start feeling.
Every restaurant you go to is a miracle. And that's not, and that doesn't, that's Fridays, right? From Fridays to the boutique thing, to the food truck. If you are making money selling food, you are at the top 1% of the 1% of what you do because you are able to leverage the miracle of location plus service plus quality.
Just in time management.
Exactly. You have hit that nail on the head. Nothing can survive. McDonald's, maybe. I mean, like some of these massive conglomerates. But even then, that is a confederation of a bunch of franchise holders. Nothing can survive a significant period of time where they can't sell food.
I talked to somebody at the supermarket who has opened up a restaurant, local one, and like burgers, that kind of stuff. And I said, oh, are you guys doing takeout? Are you on Grubhub? He's like, nah, we're not on any of that. And this was like 2 days ago. And I'm like, I don't think you realize that, like, if you're not doing takeout, delivery is not your main focus a week from now, you're not going to have a restaurant. You know,
I'll tell you what, I got turned away at Chick-fil-A this morning. I went to go. It was 10:31, and so I knew they were going to start serving chicken noodle soup at that hour. So I showed up, walked up, was turned away. They were like, go back, drive around. And
so they're doing drive-through only, is that?
Yeah, that's correct. Huh. And then I went to Torchy's because I wanted to sit and play Hearthstone. But yeah, I wonder how fast. I just saw that you'd pulled up a breaking news moment, Bryce.
Yeah, so apparently France has just announced a 15-day lockdown. Let me see, I've got some details over here. All non-essential movement to be banned from Tuesday midday for 15 days. Residents must stay at home. Punishments for those who flout the regulations. Army will help transport the sick to hospitals. A military hospital will be used in Alsace near the German border. Borders will be closed in agreement with other EU countries. The second round of their current elections have been postponed. No business, regardless of size, will be allowed to fail. There's a what? There's a $300 billion amount of money package to support these businesses.
Wow. Well, let's do that crazy startup in France, guys.
Better than throwing it at Wall Street and then they piss it away in 30 minutes.
This happened during the show, but Ohio, which was set to have their primary tomorrow, has now bounced that back to June 2nd. No word if Florida, Illinois, or Arizona, that also have primary votes tomorrow, will do the same.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you feel like the demographic question, because Florida has an older populace. And they also skew more Biden than Bernie. But then also they're literally afraid to go to the polling places. How is that going to shake out?
I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. I would assume that you are looking at depressed turnout, but also there's the question of whether or not it happens. And then at that point, it's like there's only so far that you can push this stuff back because the conventions are in August. Right. And so theoretically, if moving this back means that that more people are staying in the race and they're going to just try their hand when everything reheats back during the summer. I don't even know. We are just in such uncharted territory here. The fact that this is happening in the specter of or in the shadow of an election year is just crazy. It's just nuts. And not only to the mechanical elements of it and the who wins and who loses, but also for just the fact that, like, granted, we haven't really knocked this off, but normally once every 4 years is when everybody gets their dander up about their party affiliation. We've gone through an unseasonably spicy 4 years of that from the last election. And now we are here at the zenith of partisanship while there is like an actual pandemic that threatens to kill all of us. So
are you seeing a reduction over the last few days of partisanship? Twitter seems like, oh really? Cause my Twitter feed has gotten a little bit quieter, which has been pleasant, in that they're at least distracted by the looming monster.
No, I have not. But then again, of course, my Twitter feed is curated for maximum outrage because that's what I follow. But for every here is a statistic about where we are right now with coronavirus. There is either a and this is why
the reaction is great, or this is why the reaction is bad, or this is why the reaction from the federal government is whatever your take is. So I see that is that continues to be not only at an all-time high, but now with even more fervor.
I will say at least that in my feed that I can find within either part of the spectrum just as much variety of opinion as are we overreacting, underreacting as I can between the two. And so there are people on the left and the right both saying, ah, it's an overreaction. Ah, it's an underreaction. Oh, we should be doing this, or we shouldn't do this, or this is too much. So at least we're, you know, equally confused.
Yeah. And then, by the way, there's still this conventional like fight between candidates for the Democratic primary. So it's like amongst that, there's the like, hey, also Biden has dementia or Bernie's two people are too mean. Like that's that also has not died down because, you know, before the interloper came in, this was their party. You know, they were having their own little thing going on. And now this other stuff is kind of overlaid on it.
Yeah. So in a positive view, I think that for the long term view is that. When we had 9/11, we spent billions, trillions of dollars on security, war efforts, things like this, which, you know, that's another discussion of, did we get our money's worth? Probably the answer is no. In this, if the best case scenario from here is, one, we don't lose as many people as we're afraid of, but we have a renewed attention on these sorts of things, and we pour a ton of money into, you know, like Brian mentioned before, is like the idea is to never have to deal with this sort of thing again, or at least mitigate it, so we're not afraid to be in, you know, public, be in crowds and whatnot. So I think we're going to see less problematic, you know, I think we'll be more easy to put, there's more money going into this. There's already some initiatives from different groups that are funding startups and stuff, developing new health tech. There's a lot of easily solvable things, like, you know, for like UVC, ultraviolet light is pretty good at disinfecting a lot of things. Of course, your problem is you'll see stuff like these travel lights and stuff they sell to disinfect things when you travel. The problem is you've got to let them run for like 30 seconds because shorter than that, it doesn't do anything. It's a placebo. But there are things like this that could be useful. And you might start thinking about like, oh, maybe when I come home, I put my closet, I might put my jacket in a closet that's got UVC light that disinfects it. Maybe every, you know, I don't know if you guys do this, but everything I bring home from the grocery store, I wipe with disinfectant because guess what? It's been touched by a lot of people. And we go through the illusion of, oh, I did everything I was supposed to. I, you know, I did my Hail Marys. I'm fine. It's like, no, like microbes don't know, you know, they don't care if that alcohol, if there's not alcohol in that sanitizing wipe, it's still alive. And so, all these sort of things are opportunities to sort of develop technologies and things like this to prevent infection in the future. And I think that we lose, you know, everybody, when we first started up, like, whoa, we already lost this many people by flu. What's the point? And it's like, well, you don't want that to be your starting number. Here we may have a point where if we improve this every year, we may see less lives lost through flu and other things, which increases the overall productivity, which increases the overall health, which means we can have a more bountiful future. So that's sort of the upside of this. If we learn the right lessons from this.
Yeah. I mean,
forward. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I went, I snuck off to the gym yesterday and felt very bad about doing it. But they like have all these signs up. That's like, you know, we wipe down the machines once a day, 'cause it's the gym at my apartment. Here are wipes. Please wipe down everything before and after you use it. And it's like, that's a good policy, but also like it probably should have been like that to begin with. I think we'll find a lot of these habits where been keeping stuff cleaner than this.
But I stopped going to the gym. It's the air quality is the problem there. I'm serious. Your air quality there, that's going to be problematic. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and so I felt bad on the way there, and I probably won't go until.
I hate to be the guy, but the problem is like it's good, like wiping it down. Yeah, but it's still like it's you get people sweating and shedding, and you look at the, you know, somebody spends 30 minutes on a treadmill who has it, and you also get people who there is the mentality of two people who are like, I feel something coming on, I'll go work it off, and then gyms are
right.
Dangerous.
Which
I felt,
by the way,
my whole life, gyms.
For any of our listeners, if you feel like you are sick in any way, the exercise is the last thing you want to do. Exercise will tax your immune system and will make whatever you have last longer and make you more susceptible to catching something. So if you're feeling ill, I wanted to take a day off on that.
Yeah. If somebody said we're getting a baby boom soon. Plague babies.
That's
it.
I wonder about that.
20 years from now, yeah, I'm a COVID kid. I'm a Wuhan child.
A womb Han.
Woo baby.
Womb Han baby. Something. Womb Han.
Any picks?
I got a pick. Another thing I watched. I have not watched the Cartoon Network series Children's Hospital, but I did watch the Netflix sequel series Medical Police.
Oh yeah.
Which we still have a couple episodes to go, but I have found delightful. If you enjoyed Wet Hot American Summer and some of the stuff like that, like, you will love Medical Police. It is a send up of procedurals like NCIS or any of the Law and Order stuff, but it's hilarious. If you enjoy those tropes being sent up and just a lot of madcap zany comedy. I don't know if anybody does spatial comedy better than David Wayne, who directs a lot of these episodes, where there's just a lot of just really, really, really funny sight gags that just kind of like come and go really fast. There's one moment in the pilot where the main character is being alerted that there's a medical emergency, and she just kind of turns around and has some catchphrase of like, oh, like, I'm ready. And then just kind of lifts up a hot dog and eats it and throws it in the trash and after one bite and then like walks up and joins the fray. There's just, it's a lot of really, really good stuff. Medical Police.
So good. I got a pick. I ended up accidentally binging this show. It's another sci-fi show. This is from Pedro Aguilera, who was the creator of 3% on Netflix. He's got a new dystopian science fiction show on Netflix called Omniscient, where in this city, everyone is monitored by these little drones the size of flies, and crime has been reduced almost completely because your drone knows and sees and reports when you do something. And because it keeps track of you all the time, the judgment is handed down to you immediately. And the whole system that they have is, the idea is like, well, it's safety, but it's also private because humans can't access the system.
Wait, I gotta. Mm-hmm. Does the drone pass the sentencing? Does a tiny little voice go, and I sentence you to
stand down
isolation.
And prepare to be judged.
there's actually a scene where you see one of the characters get judged, and she goes into this waiting room, and there's like 30 or 40 chairs there or something. And it's kind of a visual bit of like, she's told like, all right, please take a seat. And then she sits down, and she's immediately called up because there's only one guy working the booth because there's no one gets in trouble. Ever. There's a lot of dumb stuff in this. For example, you would think that the company that makes all of this security stuff would have, say, additional cameras anywhere in the building, but they do not, which makes it turns out very easy to compromise. So it's a bit of a sci-fi thriller in that. I also will give props to the English dub, which is pretty, pretty good. I think it's really solid. So that's Omniscient on Netflix.
Hey,
hey, Ryan.
Very, very cautious provisional pick. I don't trust it. Look, man, rattlesnakes. Boy, they like to bite you. They may look real pretty, but then you try to pet one, and then it bites you. And you're like, what? You done bit you, rattlesnake? But then it starts looking all cute again. You reach over, you pet. Anyway, I pet Westworld last night and didn't hate the first episode of season 3.
It was promising.
Yeah, like, they did the one thing that I wanted most to see, which is be outside of Westworld. And of course, spoiler alert, they ended with a character saying, I need to get to Westworld. And I'm like, I've got to, we have to go back.
Oh, you didn't? Did you not see the after credit sequence? I'm not saying
And by the way, I'm not cool with after credit sequence on TV shows. I already have that paralysis. I don't want to be stuck around for that.
Yeah. It's a dumb thing that made me cackle, but there's one there too that's worth seeing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But provisional, more like this, please. Less like most of what came before, please.
Westworld was one of those I was very frustrated by season one, which I think I was very clear about, because sort of there's cleverness in story, and then there's cleverness in the way you try to tell the story. And I try to lean more towards a clever story than I'm going to tell the story in a certain way, which is one of the things that frustrated me about like Lost and stuff. Like we talk about this, like, why don't these people talk to each other? Oh, cause then the season would be half as long. Or, you know, why are you withholding this information? Because every character should know this. Those things frustrate me. In Westworld, to an extent, you know, the first season leaned heavily on that, which was sort of like the jumping back and forth, et cetera. But I went back and rewatched season one. I've seen it at least twice, you know, enjoyed it in season three. And once I got past that and I looked at kind of like sort of thematic of what they were doing and all that. And it's one of the things I really appreciate it more. If I go, once I understand, I'm able to frame it, go like, this part's going to disappoint you. Don't get hung up on here. This is going to drive you nuts. But now that I know that, let's go back and enjoy the rest of it. I've enjoyed it. So I'm going to probably just wait for season three to like finish all the episodes, then go watch it. Binge it.
Yeah, I think that show in particular, we talk about this on Cord Killers, really gets a boost from binging. I think that everybody who binged it tells me they love it. Everybody who watched week after week found it agonizing.
Yeah, I totally believe that. Well, it's time for my pick. And boy, got a lot of picks to choose from. Jeez. Just got to narrow down the picks that I have in front of me. And I hope that I can not disappoint you with the pick. And you know what's great? Pens. I found a really good pen.
Oh, did you get your pen, or did you get one? Because we just sold some pens.
Actually, I'm gonna double down on this. I'm doing a follow-up pick, actually, because it reminded me that it was. A while ago, I talked about how I always wanted to be able to write on my iPad, and I had the Apple Pencil. Like, I still have one of the first Apple Pencils right here and an iPad Pro. Never used it. Got it. Trying to write on glass with a sharp, odd, pointy object, to me, was not a pleasant experience, and I'd sort of given that up. And then I came across two things, which was the Logitech has their crayon, the Logitech crayon, which is their own. Their crayon, which is their own tool for writing, which I like that better. It's kind of more like an architect's pencil. It's flatter and easier to sort of handle in the hand for me. And then I got one of those matte surfaces to apply to the surface of my iPad, which gives it a different texture. And other people touch it and they go, it feels weird, but it gives it this paper-like texture. That has been wonderful. I went through, I tried some of the other, like the e-ink displays and writing things. And I got those, and I'm like, I should just get an iPad with this material on it because it'll be cheaper and it'll do more. And I felt like that was a much better choice for me. I've tried, I don't know if it was paper-like. I tried one of those. Paper, that's the material. So the paper-like, that's one of the materials. On Amazon, you'll find a bunch of different. It's just a matte finish that goes on top of it. It's been great. I make notes almost on a daily basis, draw diagrams, et cetera. I just use the basic Apple Notes app, and it's been great. So.
Cool.
That's my follow-up pick.
Nice.
Logitech crayon and one of those. It's $8 to get that material to put on. Your iPad still functions. It's a screen protector, and you know, it's been wonderful. So it's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.